The signal you are receiving is coming from deep inside of FEMA Region 1, well within the battle lines of the municipal corporation known as the Commonwealth of Taxachusetts. Radiating out to the darkest corners of Al Gore's internet from our secret broadcast bunker, cleverly disguised as a middle-class living room, this is Red Pill Politics. And welcome back to hour number two of Red Pill Politics. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Happy April 21st. All right, we are 3 weeks into April. I'm sure all of your early plants are coming up nicely. I'm sure you all went out nice and early and got those heirloom seeds to avoid the rush and most likely empty shelves. And for those of you that discovered empty shelves already, you better be online. You better be online, order them up. There was a Seed Saver Exchange, was a group I belonged to for years. And the membership wasn't that bad at all. And you got pretty inexpensive heirloom seed, too. Everything there is heirloom. And met a lot of people in the forums. You get in there, once you get a paid membership, you get active in the forums. And people had all kinds of cool stuff. We were sending seed back and forth to each other constantly. So stock up. Even if it's something you don't think you're going to plant, boy, you better start being a seed saver. That's my advice for you today. That's a take-home message. Let's get into these calls. I floated a question out there, and I'm curious. So far, we got Andy from Texas. Thinks that we're probably not going to be able to save the House of Cards. It's coming down. All right, I don't know. Possible. Very, very possible. It's hard to argue right now. Let's find out from Art from Georgia what he thinks. How you doing, Art?
Good morning, Dave. Before I answer your question, I'd like to address the issue of arms. It is defined in Black's Law Dictionary, the first edition, which is 1891. If you want to understand the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and our founding documents, you need to understand the language of the day. I've done this many times before, and I can't believe I'm still doing it, but I know there are new listeners out there, so for those of you who have not heard this yet, let me tell you how arms are defined. Anything that a man wears for his defense, body armor, or takes in his hands, or uses in his anger, to cast at or strike at another. This term, as used in the Constitution, relative to the right of the citizen to bear arms, refers to the arms of the militiaman or the soldier, and the word is used in its military arena. The arms of the infantry soldier are the musket and the bayonet. Today, they would be the M16. Continue on, of cavalry and dragoons, the saber, the holster pistol, and carbine. Of the artillery, the field piece, siege guns, and mortars with sidearms. This would be mortars, tanks, and other such items as that. RPGs, for example. The term in this connection cannot be made to cover such weapons as dirks, daggers, slingshots, sword canes, brass knuckles, and bowie knives. These are not military arms. So according to the Second Amendment, as it is written, you can own and keep in your possession anything that the military has, whether it be Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, National Guard, Reserves, doesn't matter. If they have it, you can have it. It's just that simple.
That's my understanding,
and it doesn't require any permits, doesn't require any permits or federal approval either.
Yep, you get things that complicated here in Massachusetts. I had a guest on one of my podcasts who is fighting a legal battle with them to something else. But in it, they talk about arms in the Massachusetts general law is related specifically to law enforcement. That arms in possession of law enforcement is a paid agent of government is the only thing that's regulated. That we, the people, are not. That they're, because they're a government employee, that they and the use of their arm is.
Right, exactly. Now, to answer your question of the week, like Andy, I'm black-pilled. And I am black-pilled to the point of, we're talking pitch midnight black as black can be. Just that's how black-pilled I am.
Now, do
sadly,
you know,
as much as I would like to think that there is a peaceful way out of this, I don't believe there is. I believe it is going to come down to bloodshed. Who spills more blood is that's the question. But I honestly believe it is going to come down to a violent and bloody revolution, and that is the only way I see getting out of this. And I have to hope and believe that we outnumber them vastly.
Yeah, and I believe we do. Their own numbers, as far as the number of guns in America, I think tells a story, and I think that's underestimated, to be honest. But do you think we have those numbers? When the dust settles, do you think it'll be us that is rebuilding the republic, or do you think we're just going to finish? We're going to wind up robot polishers.
I don't think we have the numbers as of yet, but I believe that when it does come down to it, when it happens, when this big festering boil does pop, a lot of people are going to wake up real quick, and we will suddenly find we have a lot more numbers than what many of us think we have. That's what I believe in my heart, and I have to believe that. Otherwise, if I don't believe it, then I have to ask the question, why bother?
Yeah. Would you agree with me that that is that point where us patriots out there cannot give up, that we've got to be present for that time? For that time, yes. When people come out and in the streets and things are broken down, you know, civil society is broken down. We have to be present in that crowd, don't we?
Oh, damn right we do, because when these people do finally come to the realization of what's happened to them, they're not going to know their ass from a hole in the ground. They're not going to have any clue as to what to do next. They're going to be looking to somebody, and if they have to be able to know that we are going to be there for them and ready to step up and do what has to be done.
Yeah.
So, yes, I believe that.
Bingo, because they're coming out of this haze, used to being told what to do and someone else giving them guidance. So if we're not there at that time, that's a hard addiction to break. But when they're out there looking for that guidance, for someone to tell them what to do to stop the suffering, us patriots better not be MIA. We got to be there to bring that group together. So...
All right, absolutely.
Fair enough.
And one final thought is, if people don't believe that it's going to come down to violence, we've already had violence. The left has already shown that they are willing to get violent. So we better be willing to get violent. They've already shown us their willingness to do it. So we need to be able to fight fires with fire. Anyway, I look forward to hearing what other callers have to say. Thanks, David.
All right. Thank you very much. That was Art from Georgia. Completely agree. This is, there's no painless way out. As I said at the beginning of the show, because I've for, you know, years, I've said, I hope there's a nonviolent way out of this. And I can't say that. I don't ask that. The answer is no, because the violence, and I'm not proposing it. That's the thing I want to make perfectly clear. I'm not proposing it. I'm not planning it. I'm observing it. I look on social media every day. I can't avoid it. I swear I'm going to get off because it's there. We can no longer hope for nonviolence, because the violence is here. It's part of the invasion. It's part of the breakdown of your family, of your economy, of capitalism. Okay? The violence is out there everywhere. It's unavoidable. Next caller, Tom from Utah. Good morning, Tom.
Oops. Oh, hi there. I just had to go answer the door.
Oh, okay. You're coming through loud and clear. What do you think? Are we going to be able to right the ship, or is the house of cards coming down?
Well, I'll tell you what. You can have your weapon oiled and cleaned, ready to go, but if the AI behind it is not functioning, we're in trouble. And the AI I'm talking about is the actual intelligence, the human being. And I keep listening to RBN, waiting for somebody to reproduce the show, kind of like Tim and forgot their program that used to be on Saturday morning, the preparation show. Food is going to become premium, but your ability to obtain it also is going to become premium, and I don't hear any discussions.
Well, what would, right now, things being what they are, current reality, what is, let's say somebody only had $200 a month extra that they could dedicate to something, what would you recommend that people spend $200 on per month towards their own security?
Well, this is kind of weird. I am in awe of the wisdom of the ancient. I'm talking about, let's take, for example, the counsel given in Matthew chapter 5. You know, the Beatitude. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. There is so much wisdom in that statement. It's incredible. I'm going to tell you, having worked in pathology in my first 30 years of life, that statement is the key to survival. Believe it or not, anything you obtain in mercy is merciful with you. What is the connection? If you're trying to nourish yourself upon things obtained in violence, biologically that violence is in it, and it is an impediment to you. So I keep waiting to hear somebody talk about the real efficiency in nourishment and also in avoiding the diseases. And you're right. What will be the big killer in Palestine will be disease. It is already.
Yeah.
It has always been the big killer in war. More soldiers die of infection or deprivation than die of bullet wounds. If anybody reads All Is Quiet on the Western Front, they'll learn that. And, and me, having worked in the military in three arms or three branches of military over my lifetime, I will tell you, disease is the great killer, but also the disease of the mind. Both things take out our best. And when things become tough, you better have a clear mind and you better have a functioning body. Right now, it's not only the food.
The people out there right now that are going to create the unrest, they have no faith underpinning them at all. They are completely, I won't say possessed, but influenced by the devil. Some of them are possessed, but it definitely influenced. That's their influence. They have no faith. And for that reason, there's those out there. And God wanted us to try. We're not to turn our our backs on our brothers and sisters. We were to try, and we were to repetitively try, but never to the point where we jeopardize our own faith. And there's some people out there that basically do not want to be saved, and there are others that are lost. You know, I struggle every day. I'm a sinner like everybody, but you know, we got to try to lift those up around us, find strength in that. I pray for strength and wisdom every day. There are two things that I ask God for, because I'm hoping that'll be enough for me to persevere. And I don't know. I guess I'm with a lot of you. I gotta say it's the nonviolent part is there. People have lost touch with God and lost touch with reality in terms of their security. Government, big government, is not anything to get the warm and fuzzies over. They're not your security blanket, and this is starting to reveal itself. So, Tom, thanks for the call. I got to move on. I got a couple more here and backed up, but thank you for that. Tom from Utah. Yeah, I don't know. This is a time where we all really got to find peace. But I can guarantee this. Panic. Panic is that's the gateway for the devil getting your head. All right? You got to be cool, calm, and collected as much as possible. Be at peace with the situation. But be prepared. I'm not saying be a pacifist. I'm not saying ignore it and be in denial. But I'm definitely saying do not panic. If you are among those listeners and knows the house of cards is coming down, you know, find some peace in that and prepare. Right? Chuck from Missouri, how are you today?
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I've listened to you guys for a long time, but really never called in. But I figured now might be a good time as any in to answer your question on the topic at hand. We're screwed. Plain and simple. We're screwed. I believe that in general, people are too stupid to survive, for one thing. That's the first thing. And I think most of them don't care. I just got out of the hospital yesterday and drove through a Free Palestine protest downtown with a guy in KKK gear and the whole regalia, and I just shook my head. But anyway, I live in a facility for physically and mentally handicapped people. I'm legally blind, and the people around me don't have sense. God give a goose. They're used to being led around by their toes and whatever else. And most of the people I deal with really don't like me much because I say what I think, and I really don't care who likes it. And you know, here in Columbia is just a liberal cesspool. That's all you can say. You know, even the night that I went to the hospital, I got a hold of a friend of mine, and she was on the way over with the way to get in the building. The paramedics damn near drove up because they coughed because they couldn't get in the building. But that's, you know, but to, like I say, to answer, you know, I don't, somebody mentioned black pill. I'm beyond black. I'm just waiting for everything to collapse all around me, and I'm almost 70, and I basically got 1.5 feet in the grave with my heart problems as it is, and I'm just waiting for it to all collapse, and I probably won't survive, and all I know is when I go, all the stupid liberals will go with me.
Well, you know, I think Rome has just gotten too big. They've regulated everything. And this globalization, and you probably have observed this from the early years when it was first introduced to us in very general terms, we allowed our imaginations to build a vision in our head of what it was. But you watched the healthcare system change completely from where you probably... I know in my case, my doctor, the first doctor I remember having, delivered my mother and was my grandmother's doctor. Okay, that's the type of relationship that we had with those that were looking out for our health. The same person that was looking out for my grandmother's health was now looking out for mine. And today, you can't go in for the slightest ache or pain without being sent to a whole list of specialists. And all it really ends up with is a trip to the drugstore. Work. How have entire industries changed over your memory as an adult? It must have been quite profound. Do you ever think we'd end up here?
No, sir. I do remember, vaguely remember when I was a little kid, doctor made a house call to me when I was with my grandma. They actually come out and saw me at night. And don't even think about that nowadays. When I was in ICU in the hospital, somebody come down, I don't know what the little kid was for, the pacemaker people or whatever, and mentioned social worker, and I said, I don't want to deal with those people. They're nothing but Marxist communists who think they can run their life better than you can. And that was put in my records because somebody read it to me. And I go, he said, he called me a communist. And I go, no. I called them Marxist communists. Just wanted to make sure you got it right.
Yeah.
So, but, it's, I'm just sitting here existing and waiting for it to all come down around me. I haven't whiffed a glint of hope in a long, long time. And I go back to my very first statement. I think people are too stupid to survive. Because once the power goes out, I know it's gone out here before, and people are basically panicking because they can't do nothing with your cell phones. Well, I don't have a cell phone, never wanted one, and never will. But like I say, when the power goes out and everything goes down with an EMP, well, I'll be dead in a year anyway. Due to disease and due to violence and bad water, et cetera, et cetera. So,
but people don't realize how systemic of an effect power outages can be. In your situation, if you've got a refrigerated medication, for example. That type of stuff doesn't stay cold on its own.
Nope. No, sir. I really don't have much more, but I just wanted to call in and chime in. And I know I sound all gloom and doom, but I like to consider myself a realist. And to me, the realization is we're screwed, and I'm just going to watch them all die around me.
Well, the first step is being real about it and being at peace with that, and from there you can make better decisions. So, Chuck, thanks a lot for calling in. First-time caller from Missouri. Thanks
all
a
right,
lot,
thank Paul. You, sir. I appreciate RBN.
All right, have a good day now. Yep, that's... That seems to be the theme of the day. People are kind of black-pilled. They don't know to see a way of this correcting itself. And I know the solution is not going to come from government. They've never taken anything from you and then said, oh, geez, well, you know what? Maybe I don't need to teach your kids about group masturbation. Okay, we'll leave that right to the parents, the old birds and the bees. You can handle that. I don't think government's going to do that. I don't think government is going to do that. So, they scared parents. A couple of them stood up and said, hey, you perverts probably should back off and stay away from our kids. And they were called racists and homophobes. And they were scared. They got scared. So now parents are apprehensive to step forward and say anything and advocate for their own children out of fear that they're going to take their children. So what's worse, you parents out there? Having your kid physically taken or having them slowly take your mind? All right, turn them into, basically your kids are going to begin turning in you parents. That's what's going to happen. It's part of the surveillance system. Not only are your parents going to accept whatever gender thing that you need to have affirmed, but you got to keep an eye on them. Do your parents got guns? Yeah, did mommy or daddy ever get mad? No, what are they doing? Do they have a little under the table business, you say? Oh, yeah, sure. And what happens when they give them government-issued laptops with Wi-Fi? Now the new Pfizer has gone through? When your kid comes home, are they coming home with the NSA in their backpack? Just scan and scoop up all the data that floats around in your house, in your phone, in your TV, on your computers? They're coming. All right, stay with us. Right at the halfway point of the hour, we'll be right back after these messages. Red Pill Politics, and you're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Who the hell am I to expect a savior? Oh, if I only talk to God when I need a favor.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Show. Thanks for tuning in, folks. Head on over to republicbroadcasting.org. Make sure to save in your favorites. Make sure you check out all the great programs here 7 days a week, stuff to feed your brain. I'm sure you'll find stuff you like. Be sure to comment and share that around. Hit the donation button on your way out. Donations, large and small, are greatly appreciated. If you can do $5 a month, when a guy sit down and they budget things out, knowing what's coming through the door and being able to match that up with the bills. And I'll tell you, this stuff nickel and dimes you to death. There are all kinds of things associated with keeping the information flowing. So don't think that $5 isn't a meaningful contribution. Everything counts, big, small, and everything in between. All right, let's get to it. I'm doing pretty good keeping up with calls here recently. Mike in Kentucky, how are you today, Mike? We got Mike. All right, Mike, you there? Hello, Mike. Okay. Well, if he's got a bad connection, have him call back and we'll get him on. This is the final segment, though, folks. You want to get involved, share your opinion right now. It's all black pills. All black pills. And I kind of lean in that way myself. I've given up on the notion that there's a nonviolent way, because the violence is here. It's already happened. It's already happened. I'm not talking about J6. Not talking about that. I'm talking. Okay, we got them back. Good deal. I'm talking about nationwide, but we're going to get Mike's opinion here. I guess we got him back. Mike, can you hear me okay?
Yeah. Can you hear me this time?
There you are. Now I hear you good.
I was just going to say, 4-6 long years I've been in trouble. You played that song. No peace on earth, here I find. Yeah, you need to change the name of the show to the Black Pill. Black Pill Show. Dante, over his Inferno, had a sign that said, "Abandon hope, all ye who enter here." I still think we've got, and we haven't dutifully made use of the jury box. And just like the January 6th protesters found, they were infiltrated with all kinds of agent provocateurs, and their phone data was used against them. So we should do that. We should demand discovery whenever we're not guilty of something, and there should be phone data to show different. We need to demand that be part of the process. I just had a guy's court case. Basically, he won because he demanded that. His lawyer didn't want him to file discovery. He did it anyway because he was attacked and they stole his phone. And he ended up, they started coming at him again, so he shot a gun in the air, and they didn't get arrested. He did, or threatened to be arrested, unless he signed a ticket, had him handcuffed. So the other thing we could do is jury nullification. Everybody in their county can start being an activist and making sure that the odds are every time they seat 6 or 12 people, there's going to be one on that jury that refuses to convict because our government is so pirate and corrupted. They shouldn't be nitpicking on us little people. Even somebody that's got a dime bag of dope or is a user, an addict, they should know that they could demand a jury trial and have a reasonable chance that they're going to be that the law will be nullified. You know, especially if you're dealing with a third strike felony, you know, for something like possession of a firearm, or you're trying to, you know, defend your home. I just found out, I didn't know this, that if you're 18 and living on your own between 18 and 21, you can't have a handgun, at least in Kentucky. I don't know what other states, but
Yeah, the main state is 21.
Yeah, that's just wrong. If you're old enough to vote, go off to war, you should be able to defend yourself in your own whatever, apartment or whatever. Now, maybe you need to have it, probably better to have a tactical shotgun with a tactical red dot sight and ammo that's not going to go through, you know, two walls of sheetrock, you know, whatever, frangible type stuff that's not going to go through into the next room. That would be smarter, but what's the old saying? You know, your pistol is to get you to your rifle, sort of thing.
Right.
You know, pistols to get you to your shotgun. But no, I think we do have some little directions of hope. Now, if you're fasting for wisdom, what else are you not doing that you should be doing? Do a Daniel fast. If you can't fast completely without food or water, do a Daniel fast where you cut out some of the rich foods that you're eating. And the king, Nebuchadnezzar, even noticed that he was that they were all healthier after they quit eating all the rich whatever, meats, fat and stuff. They got
trimmed. The thing is, you eat way less. Because it really, when you, all these cravings that people have for this crap food that they're eating is a natural response to your body trying to acquire that minimum amount of good stuff. You got to eat so much garbage just to maintain certain biological things in your body that you crave that stuff, not because of the sweet stuff that's in it, but because your body needs the actual few nutrients that might happen to be trapped in there.
They rig it. They rig it with things like excitotoxins, be it aspartame or monosodium glutamate, things that overstimulate your brain and cause you to crave that stuff, the smell associated with the flavor.
I agree.
Yeah, so they rigged industrialized food, and people have lost their taste for bland things. But you can eat a lot of stuff in the woods. You know, Tom was talking about there's going to be, or everybody's talking about there's lack of food that's coming. I think it's a lack of knowledge.
I've often said that people that starve to death do so out of ignorance, because you can eat more things than you can. I've often said it's better to have a guide on poisonous plants and venomous animals and avoid those things, because if you had to eat pine needles, you could. You know, that's the reality of it. You can eat a cattail. Right.
You can eat tree bark, the inner bark of trees, unless you're allergic to it. There's all kinds of parts on a pine tree. But I got to go. Somebody finally is waiting on me. I was waiting on somebody else for a few minutes, but now they're waiting on me. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Thanks for the call. Bye. Mike from Kentucky.
I'm looking for parts.
So we are definitely in a precarious situation where the person most likely to help you is going to be you. And that makes people really uncomfortable. Most people do not like the idea of, you know, flipping the light switch and having it not come on. Oh, my goodness. Everyone, all these people that produced and transmitted electricity to my little outlet, someone has failed me. Yeah, you're going to find out. You're going to be more than the lights going out. Your little belly is going to be grumbling, I think. I don't know. Let's got another caller online here. Luca, how are you today?
I'm doing great, sir. It's an honor to be on your show. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good, I guess. I'm trying not to be too black-pilled, but I got to say I'm leaning towards those guys, too.
Well, I just found an eagle feather on the ground as we speak, and I'm picking it up as we speak. Look at that. I'm calling in just to tell a few truths, and I find an eagle feather. This is live. No kidding.
Wow.
I think the world spiritually is going to be split in half. It's going to be educate the innocent and terminate the incorrigible. I think that's what's going to happen, because Mother Nature's going to do it for us. We're not doing anything to save ourselves or anybody else or our brothers and sisters. So I think Mother Nature gave us ample time to, you know, it's going to be not going to be a middle of the fence anymore. It's going to be one side or the other. Either you care, you know, the Hopi have been saying it for 20,000 years or more, that you have to start learning how to let go of what you love the most and of taking care of each other and doing what we can to save each other. And yes, final thought on having a gun, I completely agree, because it's not thou shalt not kill, it's thou shalt not murder. Because when you kill in self-defense, you have every right in the world to protect yourself, period. So if anybody else starts anything, you finish it. That's what my grandfather used to say.
Yeah, you have the absolute right to defend yourself always. And that, you know, as a kid, I remember both my father and grandfather were pretty much the same on this. He said, if I ever find out that you were a bully, just going in and picking on someone because they were different, you're in a boatload of trouble. And the second thing that would have gotten me in trouble is if I just sat there and took it. They said, you are to take exactly one punch. You give them the first swing. And then after that, all hell breaks loose. You don't stop until they're down and they give up. And that's the second way I could get in trouble, is by not defending myself.
If I can just add one thing on karma, because what you're going to hear on my show today in a few hours is that when you live by karma and you live by truth, tell the truth, you make sure everybody around you knows the truth as much as possible to the best of your ability, all of a sudden everything happens. You can go to sleep, your health improves, and that's all you can do. So
yeah,
I applaud you for talking about stuff like that, and thank you for taking my call, sir.
All right, well, thank you for calling in. What time's your show so people can tune in?
It's so cool. We were off air for a while, but we're back on again. It's today and every Sunday at 4 Central.
Excellent. I'm pretty sure that picking up that eagle feather is some sort of a federal crime or something. So.
See, that's what I mean. You can get 6 months in jail and or $250, $250,000 fine for each feather. Okay? This is the BS that we're living. Okay, when you find out what it is to live among the tribe, to work for what you own and, you know, earn it, as a gift. It's a whole different, it's a completely different system, and that's what we have to come back to, otherwise we're doomed, as you say so well.
Yeah, I agree, man. We got to make it about family again, and good things come out from there. So, Luca, thanks for the call. I encourage people to tune into the show here this afternoon. Check it out.
You have a good day.
All right, thank you. This is exciting times, folks. Very exciting time to be alive. But, you know, God didn't want us to be lukewarm. Did not like it when you were uncommitted. We do have to pick a side, you know, good or bad. We talked a couple weeks ago. I think it also is going to come down to globalism or nationalism. There's going to be a philosophy, a side that's going to have to be chosen. I think that's kind of at play here, too. We've got another caller just popped on. We got time to field that. Terry from Texas. How are you, Terry?
Hey, pretty good. Enjoying listening to your show. I was just going to say, I have a friend, her grandmother just got a letter from, I guess, the county stating that they, it's a 10-page letter that they need to give up the rights to their animals on their farm. And so within, I guess, 3 days, they were able to get 1,500 people to go to their council meeting and challenge them. I told her to send me a copy of the letter, but I don't have it. Anyway, what I was going to say is we can't do anything with the federal government. They're going to do what they're going to do, so we have to concentrate on our personal self, or maybe the, you know, the counties and agencies that are ruling us, you know, the county commissioners and such. So have to, there's ways to go after them, but as far as personal responsibility, I've been, you know, you are a commercial entity, and so when people talk about your constitutional rights, you don't really have those in the sense unless you know how to reserve your rights. I heard the guy talking about it. He got a traffic ticket. Just anything that you sign is a commercial contract, including a traffic ticket. So you reserve your rights by signing UCC 1-308, and that basically voids any liability to that contract, and then you can go in and either discharge it or what. But, again,
yeah, people wonder why they're treated like a franchise rather than a individual with rights, and it's often because we do contract in ourselves into their jurisdiction on so many things.
Exactly. Well, what you need to understand is, you know, the Federal Reserve came in 1913. By 1929, we were bankrupt. 1933, they basically created a new contract because we defaulted on the debt. And then they took away the gold, which basically made it impossible to pay off anything because your debt notes cannot pay off anything. There is no money. There's only debt. And so those security notes, basically, you can discharge debt, but you have to understand the system that you're in. So you have to get out of the statutory system and become a non-statutory agent, basically. And yeah, what I've found, and I know there's people out there listening that understand how to do that. Now, all the agencies are statutory. And even the Congress has said, you know, they only have jurisdiction over statutory persons or different agencies.
In line with that, do you hold out any hope at all that Trump would come in with the executive pen and start doing away with these extra-constitutional agencies that were put into place with that poison executive pen? Do you think he could cause that much political entropy?
We would have to do it ourselves initially. They're not going to allow him to do that because the president is the CEO of the corporation of the United States, and the powers to be just, you know, they're not going to allow that.
We rose up. So, if that was the time that we rose up, was in support of that.
Right.
I mean, because this is what I've said.
Yeah,
Trump is not going to be the solution to this. He's going to cause enough opportunity to shake loose. There's going to be chaos amongst the systems. And at that point, we the people got to be ready to jump in. We got to be like the tide coming in at that point. I mean, do you think he can cause that much?
Yeah, that could very well happen. I mean, Trump hasn't been, they haven't been able to throw him in jail because he operates through a private trust. And that's what I'm telling. If there's anybody out there that understands the benefits, how you become a beneficiary instead of the trustee responsible for all this crap that they're throwing at you, you can separate yourself through a private, non-statutory express trust and operate in the private as, you know, the beneficiary through their systems of commerce.
Right.
But you have to understand UCC, you have to understand commerce law. You know, because really they're screwing us because of our lack of knowledge. It's like, for instance, I went into a hospital with a kidney stone. I had, you know, blood work, drugs, medications, CAT scans, and I didn't even get barely time to sit on the bed, and the administration was in there wanting me to sign 15 different documents, and I told them, you know, look, I'm sick. I'm not signing anything. I'll sign a consent to treat. But you send it to me, and I'll look at it, and then we'll go with that. So when I signed that, I signed it UCC 1-308, which is reservation of rights, and that's all they said. They said, oh, you signed that? She said, yeah. He says, all these lawyers sign that. Anyway, I you know, I got admitted and got my medicines and everything I needed, and I left AMA because I didn't want to stay any longer. Now, once the pain was gone, I got my medicines to pass it stone, but I got a bill. Now, usually when you leave against medical advice, it voids your insurance. They won't cover you, but I didn't care. So anyway, I got a notice about 2 weeks later from the hospital. It said, this is not a bill. The cost was about $7,000, and it said, this is not a bill. And so I took them for their word, never heard another word. I've had that happen several different places. You just sign. But again, it's knowledge. If there's anybody out there that understands that could maybe pass that information along better than I could, but I'm in the process of doing that. Because as a national, when you become a national, you become a national.
That's been around for a long time. You got to do it, and you got to do it right. Because if you don't, I know a lot of people that got pinched and wound up in trouble for it. But I got to wrap the show up here, Terry.
Right.
I do appreciate your thoughts, and I agree. People are suffering for lack of knowledge. Totally agree on that.
But there's a lot of positive stuff for people. And like I said, if somebody could call in at some point that understands these non-statutory express trusts and how the benefit could be for all of us.
Yeah, maybe I can bring one of these guys down and get them on there. Do that in a future episode. Terry, thanks
all
a lot
right,
for
well,
the call. We got to stop sticking our heads in the sand, folks. Admit the reality of the trouble that we're in and prepare first. We've got to survive, live to fight on another day. That is for sure. So it's an investment in yourself. Please be prepared. Okay. Love and appreciate y'all. Keep your heads high, chins up out there. There's no quitters in life. All right, fly your flags high, keep your powder dry, love each other out there. We'll see you next week.
are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.